just for women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Homeschool moms are down-to-earth types, not Martha Stewart clones. They may live on a ranch in Wyoming, in a suburb in Florida, or in an apartment in inner-city New York, but their pleasant middle-class veneer makes a crowning achievement. It masks this crowning achievement. These mothers are conceivably the country's most effective education reformers. I'm reading to you now from the New American, September 10th, 2001. It just came in the mail the other day. I've been considering talking to you about the homeschool movement and about private schools and public schools. I want to get you to thinking, mothers, about the education of your children. This article is short, and I'll read it to you. It says, Homeschooling, the Growth of a Movement. In 1994, the Census Bureau estimated that 360,000 American children were being homeschooled. In 1996, the U.S. Department of Education pegged the number at 640,000. And on August 1st of this year, the department's National Center for Education Statistics, that's called NCES, released a study, Homeschooling in the United States, 1999, that confirms the continuing rapid growth and increasing acceptance of the homeschool movement. It is the first attempt by the NCES. Remember, I said that was the National Center for Education Statistics. It is the first attempt of the NCES to estimate the number of homeschooled students, the characteristics of such children and their families, parental reasons for homeschooling, and government school support for homeschoolers. The July 2001 study is based on data gleaned from a telephone survey of 57,278 households during the first 5 months of 1999 by the parent program of the National Household Education Survey Program. In 1999, it found that an estimated 850,000 children ages 5 through 17, the midpoint of a possible range of 709,000 to 992,000, were being homeschooled at the time. I'll repeat that. An estimated number, 850,000 children ages 5 through 17, were being homeschooled at that time. The parents interviewed cited sundry reasons for their decisions to homeschool. Topping the list were, can give children better education at home, religious reasons, and poor learning environment at school. The survey found that most homeschool students are likely to live in a two-parent family with two or more siblings and with only one parent working outside the home. Also, parents who homeschool are, on average, better educated than the general population, though their income is about average. Laura Derrick, spokeswoman for the National Home Education Network and the parent of two homeschoolers, explained, "These are families that have one income and have sacrificed to live on one income so that one parent can stay at home." And then there's a picture here of a mother and her young son. He looks like he's about 10. And it says, "Popular choice, homeschooling continues to pick up steam. A new study by the U.S. Department of Education's National Center for Education Statistics found that an estimate estimated 850,000 children ages 5 through 17 were schooled at home during the spring of 1999. And I told you that about three times because I wanted you to understand it and get it through your head. Now, I happen to be a grandmother of homeschooled grandchildren. I have nothing to do with their homeschooling, and so I can take no credit for what they learned or what they haven't learned, but I am very interested in homeschooling. And I'm also very interested in Christian schools and in public schools. Now, I have an article here that was written in 1997, but it's just as current today as it was then. You see, I've been studying and collecting homeschool articles for quite a while. And when I began my radio program, one of the things that I wanted to do to you, besides talk about marriage and other things just for women, was to talk about schools. You're a mother, and you're very interested in the education of your children. But sometimes it becomes overwhelming, especially if you have many children. Now, I had five children, and four of them were all together, and then there was a space of 9 years between the fourth child and the fifth child. But I know how confused I was, how tired I was, and I am not sure if I would have known how to homeschool. But in this day and age, there is so much help. When I was a mother, there was no help. I was told not to try to teach my child or I might hinder his learning. Now, this article is called Before the Public Schools, and I hope I can read it to you. Not surprisingly, the education and opinion cartels claim that the demise of the public school system would mean the demise of education. But that is not true. That's the opposite is true. The history of our country from colonial days until well into the 19th century showed that the vast education, with exception of a few common schools in New England, was conducted in an atmosphere of free enterprise based on the preference of the parents. The one-room school and homeschooling were common forms of education. Private schools supported by the parents or by the churches or charitable institutions flourished without the benefit of government subsidies. Parents determined how and what their children would be taught and how much of their resources in time and money to devote to their education. Just yesterday on the news, there was some kind of hold up in a bank in Indiana. I think it was Lowell, Indiana, I'm not sure. And the schools, there was a school nearby, and then that was a high school, and they were all in lockup because of this crisis in this bank. There was hostages there and all that. And there were 1,000 children, teenagers, in this particular school. At least 1,000 or more. I didn't get the exact number. I have said, since all this shooting and all this clamoring and all this confusion and all this drugs and all this horror that we read about in the public school systems, I have said the solution is smaller schools. Smaller schools. And I don't know how we're going to correct these big institutional type schools. There's a mindset in this country, the bigger the better. But I don't think that's correct. I don't think it's bigger and better. Now back to the article. The product of this laissez-faire approach to education were not intellectually handicapped by the absence of government largesse, educators, and facilities, without compulsory attendance laws and other controls mandating a good education that somehow managed to launch the world's greatest experiment in human liberty. The products, in the early years of our country, an experiment that quickly transformed a supposedly backward wilderness nation into the envy of the collectivist old world. Of the 117 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, now listen, put down that book or that sewing or whatever you're doing and listen to this. Of the 117 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution, Samuel Blomfield wrote in his book, Is Public Education Necessary? One out of three had only a few months of formal schooling, and only one in four had gone to college. Listen to this now. Benjamin Franklin, this author wrote, was taught to read by his father and attended a private school for writing and arithmetic. Thomas Jefferson studied Latin and Greek under a tutor. Americans from various walks of life were educated primarily at home, including President George Washington, James Madison, John Quincy Adams, and Abraham Lincoln. Regarding the latter two, the author of this particular research said, John Quincy Adams never attended a formal school until he entered Harvard, and it was a private institution at the time. And this man, John Quincy Adams, started Harvard at the age of 14. President Abraham Lincoln likewise received all of his education except 1 year through home instruction. And I believe he did a lot of that by candlelight or oil lamp. Don't you remember? Not just these famous Americans, but the common man at that time possessed a high degree of literacy and understanding prior to the establishment of the public school system as the most common form of schooling. John Adams stated in 1765, A Native American who cannot read or write is as rare an appearance as a comet or an earthquake. The enduring Federalist Papers of 1787 and 1788 provides compelling evidence that Adams was not exaggerating. Originally written as a series of 85 new paper columns to sell the Constitution to the man on the street, these papers today offer a reading challenge to many of our college graduates. But the colonial and post-colonial generation of Americans not only knew how to read and write, they also possessed values that are under attack today. Self-reliance, diligence, respect for authority, perseverance, honesty, hard work, bravery, etc. But how could it have been otherwise? Because the parents controlled the education of their children. They were able to transmit to their offspring the same traditional values they had grown up with. Now, I just want to challenge you, mother, grandmother. Don't be afraid to teach your children. Don't be afraid to teach them. They need your teaching. You are as good as their school teacher. In fact, you can be better. But first of all, you must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. No one can be completely educated or be an educator if they're not born again. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And he was talking to people like you and like me. We're going to be into this homeschool discussion for a whole tape. And if you'd like to get the tape, just write to me and send me some offering to cover the tape. Because I want you to be mentally challenged, emotionally challenged, and heartfeltly challenged to know about homeschooling. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women, is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Increasing numbers of stay-at-home mothers are choosing to homeschool their children, a trend that is surely the most effective form of education this nation has ever seen. The new homeschoolers aren't hermits. They are diverse parents who are getting results and putting the heat on public schools. Sandra Decker of Texas abandoned the local school after concluding that her gifted son, LJ, 17, wasn't being challenged. She homeschooled LJ, his brother, Joshua Michael, 12, and another sibling, Joshua James, 5, and Anna Jo, 4, will start in the fall. When Decker began 8 years ago, people thought you were weird, she says. Her husband, a lawyer who works at home, handles the higher-level math classes. Those are some leads in the Time magazine article that I received. I think it has about 9 or 10 pages devoted to homeschooling. It's the August 27th, 2001 issue. It is a very interesting article. I read the whole thing. I was very glad to get it. And I told you last broadcast that according to a new federal report, at least 850,000 students were learning at home in 1999. The most recent year studied. Some experts believe the figure is actually twice that. As recently as 1994, the government estimated the number is just 345,000. True, even the largest estimate still put the homeschooled at only 4% of the total K-12 population. But that would mean more kids learn at home than attend all the public schools in Alaska, Delaware, Hawaii, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Rhode Island, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wyoming combined. How about that? Now, I have it all underlined, and I was going to read it to you, but then I got the World Magazine for September 1st, 2001, and there was a picture of it on page 12. The front, it shows the mother and her children that she homeschooled, and one of them is not pictured here. That's why we don't have that one's name. And here was a little brief review of that article, and I thought I'd read it to you because it goes faster than if I would ramble on about these other pages in the Time magazine itself. It's headed, Time Takes Notice. Homeschooling made the cover of Time. With an article titled, Succeeding from School, John Cloud and Jody Morris, they're the authors of the article, say the movement is starting to shake up public education. Well, I say, praise the Lord. Something has to shake up public education. In Florida, for example, the state loses nearly $130 million because 41,128 children are out of the system. That must be why they're shook up, don't you think, over money? Everybody gets shook up over money. The rising tide also means, I'm reading again, taxes that support government schools may be in trouble. Cloud and Moore's, the article's authors, speculate that the economy may send parents back to work and away from homeschooling. Quote, but for now, homeschooling is still growing at about 11% a year, 11%, and it's no longer confined to conservative fringe that never believed in the idea of public education anyway. End of quote. These authors said that. The Time writers bring up familiar issues about socialization, parental sacrifices, college admission, and non-traditional curricula. They wind up concluding that homeschooling is flawed and some sort of healthy synergy between public school and homeschool is a good idea. They end the article with a worried statement about how state education may decline and become, quote, simply another consumer good pushed by market forces and not a common good that transcends them, end of quote. While a cover story like this at least takes homeschooling seriously, it still presents a subtle negativity toward the movement. Now, I have another article about this same Time magazine, lengthy article on homeschooling. This is from the Washington Times, and the person that gave me this did not put a date on it, but I'm sure it's recent, because as I told you, this homeschool article in the Times was from August 27th. Oh, that was my 53rd wedding anniversary, by the way, 2001. And then, as I said, the critique of it in the World magazine was from September 1st. So this article called No Drugs, No Condoms, What My Children Learned in Homeschool by Robert Stacy McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. Kenny, what's 8 plus 7? My daughter was nearing the end of second grade when I asked that question. It took her about 4 seconds to answer. 4 seconds, too long. 4 seconds during which I gave up on modern school. We had tried public school, but when one of my daughters, fellow kindergartens, cussed out the teacher in words that no 5-year-old should have had to hear, we decided to try a Christian school the next year. Alas, modern education theory has not limited its influence to public schools. Creative spelling was tolerated in the church school our daughter attended for 2 years, and mathematics instruction apparently did not include the memorization of basic algorithms. It boggled my mind to discover that my exceptionally bright daughter had almost completed second grade and had not been drilled sufficiently to answer a single-digit addition problem without hesitation. Advocates of modern theories like connected mathematics claim that problem-solving strategies are more important than mere math facts. But I cannot imagine how strategies will help a third grader who doesn't know that 8 plus 7 equals 15. Some things one simply must know. Having tried both public and private schools and found them wanting, my wife and I decided to homeschool our kids. 4 years later, I am pleased to report that our 12-year-old daughter is doing math at an 8th grade level and has the reading vocabulary of a college freshman. We're still working to eliminate the creativity in her spelling. Our 8-year-old twin sons, homeschooled since age 4, are doing 5th grade math. Time magazine, see that's the article I was telling you about. Time magazine is worried about our kids. Our children's success and the success of thousands of other homeschooled kids is dangerously perilous, Time suggests in a cover story titled, Is Homeschooling Good for America? The Time article is anti-homeschooling propaganda, thinly disguised as news. Homeschooling may turn out better students, Time admits, but does it create better citizens? The bulk of the article is mainly devoted to the threadbare socialization issue. For years, homeschooling parents have been answering the questions, what about socialization? Isn't it important for kids to learn to get along with other kids? Short answer, yes. And other kids, polite, friendly, and outgoing, get along just fine with other kids. They have friends just like any other kids. Our friends, including some friends who beg their parents to be homeschooled like our kids. What the folks who ask about socialization really mean, however, is this. Doesn't healthy development require that every child be immersed 7 hours a day, 180 days a year, that's 180 days a year, for 13 years among dozens of children whose only commonality is living within the boundaries of the certain school district? To this we answer, absolutely not. The notion that the one-size-fits-all school fulfills a necessary social function is an absurdity reflecting a profound ignorance of human history. kids were successfully socialized for millennia before anyone concocted anything remotely like the modern school administrators by certified government bureaucrats, where 500 to 3,000 kids are taught a politically approved curriculum. The socialization question takes various forms. What about school dances? Well, of course, we Christians don't have our children go to school dances, but this is in this article. What about football games? What about Newt Gingrich's, when he used to say, subsidized dating? The widespread belief that school is or should be primarily about socialization is the biggest clue to what's gone wrong with the American educational system. So it is that the people at Time Magazine, it's with them. Who would have you believe, they would have you believe, they care more about my kids than I do? Worry that homeschool kids may have missed out on what whole swaths of childhood. They may have missed that. Mandatory condom instruction. They would miss that. Middle school drug dealers. Pipe bombs in the cafeteria. Too bad my kids missed out on all of that. The folks at Time profess to be worried that homeschooling is bad for democracy. But Ben Franklin and George Washington, among others of the Founding Fathers, got more of their education at home, and none of the founders ever set foot on anything like public schools. If the founders of our republic didn't need public schools, why do our kids? In the end, Time's greatest concern is that homeschooling limits the public school system's access to taxpayers' pockets. That's it. Public schools' funding is determined according to their enrollment. For each kid enrolled, the school gets a certain appropriation, thousands of dollars per child. By draining kids out of the public education system, says Time magazine, homeschooling has become a threat to the very notion of public education. Let me be the first to say I hope so. I certainly hope so. That's what Robert Stacy McCain said in the Washington Time article, and I think it was very good. I'm trying to give you food for thought, dear heart, food for thought, to get into your mind and make you start thinking about your child's education. Do you think perhaps you could do a better job than the public school? Do you think perhaps you could do better than the local Christian school? These are things to think about, and I've got to go now, but remember, I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi again, this is Mrs. Waite. I've written a couple pages here, I think about 4 or 5 or 6 pages, I forget. It's called To Homeschool or Not to Homeschool, that is the question. If you've been with me for the last 2 programs, and I hope you do find out when my station is on, my program's on, what time it's on in your station. Different stations have it staggered, not the same time each time. I'm on twice a week. Please look for this and listen. And you're welcome also to ask for this tape. There will probably be 8 programs on this one tape. I make 8 of them a time. I've explained this to you, and then I send it to the stations, and then they have 8 programs. And I've been burdened to talk about homeschooling. I am a homeschool grandmother. That doesn't mean that I homeschool, no. But my children have homeschooled my grandchildren. Some have homeschooled them to graduation. Some have homeschooled them a few years. Some have homeschooled them for many years. Some have their, each one of these homeschool parents that happen to be in my family have their own method of homeschooling. I have nothing to do with their schooling. But I do pray for them, and I am proud of them, and I'm happy for them. And when they first started homeschool, I really didn't know what it was all about myself. So I have had to learn. I've had to trust their wisdom that they know what they are doing. And I'm sure sometimes they don't know what they're doing, but they have stepped out in faith to teach their children. So as a grandmother of homeschooled grandchildren, I want to encourage you to encourage your children, or yourself if you're a mother, to try to homeschool. But you have to really think about this. You see, everyone can't afford to go to public school because of the sin in the public school. Not that there's not sin in other schools. And everyone can't afford to go to private school because it's very expensive. But you can afford to homeschool, although homeschooling is not cheap. Now, I want to get right into this because I know it will take at least 2 programs, if not more. And if you only want to have this writing that I've done, the pages, just call me at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and I'll send this to you. But if you want the tape, please send an offering along to help pay for it. All right, the first section is called A Concerned Father. Besides reading about it in literature and history books, I'm trying to remember when was the first time I ever heard of homeschooling. It was years ago, because I think it wasn't as popular then, and I'm scratching my head to try to remember. We were in meetings someplace. You know, my husband's Dr. Waite, Pastor Waite, and we go off and speak lots of times in churches. In fact, we're going to go away this weekend and speak to a church in Ohio. And I have a session with the women, and my husband has an all-day conference, which is very interesting to have, you know, an all-day conference from morning to night. You have morning church, Sunday school time, you have the afternoon meetings, I suppose they eat someplace in there, and then you have the evening meetings. Because in this day and age, people often can't get away for the weekly meetings like they used to have every single night of the week. And so I like these all-day meetings. My husband just was in a week of meetings in Virginia Beach, Virginia area, in a place called Chesapeake. I didn't go with him. I was just too exhausted to go with him. But he had a very good time there. He spoke the most he had. Now, let me get this to you. I'm getting off the subject. The most he ever had was 18 people. It was a very small church. The church had many splits, and so it was a small church. It had a building. But what I'm telling you this for is because many of these people were seminary students. Some of them were going to be missionaries. Several of them were going to be missionaries. Some of them were, I think, a man from India. And these people were going to go back to their places. And they were going to be able to teach what my husband had taught them. He teaches most of the time when he goes to churches about the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Text and the King James Bible. He defends the King James Bible because it's the best English translation of the proper Greek and Hebrew texts. Now, I'm not talking about that now, but I told you all this to tell you that it wasn't a big crowd. You know, while I'm off the subject, I'm thinking of God in the Old Testament. And, of course, he's all over. God is God. God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. But I'm thinking of the first time he taught. The first time he taught was in the Garden of Eden. And he didn't have a big crowd. And this is to encourage you mothers and you fathers to teach at home your children. 1, 2, 5, 10, how many children you have. Remember right there in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Well, before that, before he created Eve, he did some teaching with Adam. It was a one-on-one teaching. The Lord God said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And then he made woman, and you know what women did? She got into big trouble. She really did. She got Adam into big trouble. Evidently, Adam did not do his homeschooling with his wife Eve. That's all I can think of, because she didn't seem to know to stay away from the serpent. And then we see in chapter 3, after they sinned, and they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" And Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, the purpose of my doing all this is to show you that God was the first pedagogue. He was the first maestro. He was the first teacher. He taught Adam, and Adam did not receive the teaching too well, did he? Because he did not go on and teach others. But this was the first homeschooling, I believe. Now, let me get back to my article. I really got off the subject, and the time is going away, so the article will probably take more time than I expected. Anyway, I was thinking, where did I first hear about homeschooling? I don't think it was in Toronto. I know it was in Scarborough or Brampton. It may have been in Prince Frederick or St. John's and perhaps Moncton. No matter. Sometimes in our travels we come across successful, we did this one time, a successful builder. He had a beautiful, huge home, very impressive. His wife set the table with a full service of genuine blue Wedgwood. It was magnificent. She served ferns freshly picked from the woods, and that was a new taste treat for me. I'd never remember ever eating ferns before. I remember she had a maid, all dressed in a uniform, who sat with us when she ate. And the table was set completely askew with the crystal goblets in the wrong places and the silverware confused. Sort of different to say the least, but very lovely. My mother, she was not married to a wealthy builder. As time went on, my father became prosperous, but he never changed his ways. But she always got books out, and she learned. She got Emily Post out. She learned the proper way to set a table so she could tell me. I remember our one boy was in home ec. Boys took home ec, and he and his group were setting tables, and he set the table for them. He learned to set the table at our house. I learned to set the table properly from my mother. I was homeschooled, so to speak, how to set the table, how to have certain manners. Well, the other boys in his class decided that was wrong. Dan didn't know how to set the table, they thought, so they reset it. And when the teacher came by, that group failed in table setting. The teacher said, "Here is how you set the table," and he set it the way Dan had set it. And I was so pleased, even though Dan didn't have enough fortitude perhaps to say, "Hey, you're wrong, but what can you do with everybody who thinks they know everything?" So anyhow, we'll get back to this. I'm really rambling. Our host, the father, must have been in his 40s, perhaps younger. He was handsome and strong, with big hands and a kind heart. He eagerly bought piles of books from our Bible for Today book table. Though he could create beautiful buildings, and though he did not tell us, we soon came to realize that he could not read. His wife did the reading for him along with the signing of checks and his bookwork. I was saddened and wanted to teach him to read, but said nothing. He was a proud man. This man, a father of daughters, had a burden. That burden was for the Christian education of his children. He spoke of it with heartfelt passion. His intention was to build a small schoolhouse on his property for the girls and hire a private teacher. He wanted my husband's advice. I've never heard of such a thing before. Well, at least not in this day and age. It was like a page from the kings of yore, from a leaf torn from the diary of an ancient aristocrat. To be truthful, I'd forgotten about that man and his desire for his children to be well educated, not only in book learning, but in the Word of God. He was to be commended. I'd forgotten all about that incident until I decided to talk with you about homeschooling. I wonder how those daughters are doing today. Let me go away from my article a little bit and read one by Gail Felker from the How to Start Homeschooling in 8 Easy Steps. Let me read this. My introduction to homeschooling came 15 years ago when I was a school teacher. A mother disagreed with how I handled the situation and pulled her child out of my class to homeschool him. I hate to admit it, but I was offended. How did that mother, who didn't even have a high school degree, think she could do a better job than I? Needless to say, by the time I became a mother, I realized that parents do know their children better than anyone else. When I began to consider my children's education, it was with repentant heart and prayerful attitude that I realized homeschooling was indeed an excellent option. Since then, I have helped many families get started in home education. I pray that this article will alleviate your doubts and concerns about starting a homeschool program. Then she gives some steps for homeschool success, and I want to give them to you. Read everything on homeschooling that you can find. Libraries are full. Talk to homeschoolers and ask, why did you choose homeschooling? What has been the benefit as well as the difficulties? What curriculum are you using? Do you recommend a particular book? Join a support group. Consider joining the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. For $100 per year membership, you can receive the court reporter. That's their paper. Set goals for yourself. Choose a curriculum that fits your goals. And write your schedule out so you know what you're going to do for the next week. Now, these are important things to learn when you start homeschooling. You just don't dive in without water in the pool. Remember when we talked about Adam and Eve at the beginning of this program and about sin? You are a sinner. You're either saved sinner or lost sinner. Your children, no matter how much you love them, are sinners and they need to know the Savior. The first thing you do in home school, whether they go to public or private or real home school, is to teach them about Jesus. I'm under His care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi again. I'm reading To Homeschool or Not to Homeschool. That is a question. This is a paper that I've written, and you may have it if you call us at our 1-800-JOHN-10-9 number. If you would like the whole tape of this series on homeschooling, please send us a little gift to cover the tape. There'll be 8 sessions, 8 programs on one tape. Now let's hurry and get on, because I have a tendency of wandering off the subject, don't I? Memories of homeschools I've seen. As I contemplate what I'm going to tell you about homeschooling, memories of homes we've been to in our travels have suddenly come to mind. It's wonderful how the memory works, isn't it? That's why it's so sad when it doesn't work, like with Alzheimer's. I remember homeschoolers sitting around their kitchen table showing me their projects. I think that was, this particular memory was in Connecticut. For a project for their son, they raised seeing eye dogs. I was very interested in this. There's a special way you raise seeing eye dogs. You just don't let them run around. They have to be very disciplined, and all dogs cannot be seeing eye dogs. To be honest, I've been very impressed with such people and the memories of these homeschoolers and what they've given me. Another time I remember one grandmother who eagerly drove me to her daughter's house to observe her daughter's homeschool in a small house on the edge of town. How proud that grandmother was. I don't even remember where we were going or who the people were. I'm sorry, but I shall never forget the family of children dressed in uniforms doing their morning exercises with American flags about. Yes, I admired that mother. She had to let everything go in the house and devote her best hours of the day to teaching her children. She was their teacher, and she was a teacher. She was strict. She was relentless in her teaching. She held a regular classroom. Now, I know something about homeschooling. Not that I ever homeschooled. I'm not sure that I could have stood it, to be honest with you. But all of my grandchildren have been homeschooled. That's a startling statement, isn't it? Some were taken out of government-owned schools. I have 8 grandchildren, by the way. Some were taken out of government-owned schools, as well as private so-called Christian schools. Some have returned to so-called formal Christian education with mixed feelings. Others are back in public school and liking it. Others have never set foot in a formal classroom in all their lives. I admire their parents, the ones who have been labored diligently to teach my grandchildren. Some have graduated, some are still in home session schools, and others have entered the school of hard knocks with the GED. All in all, their parents should receive a star for excellence and determination. I have always wondered, of course, if some of Pastor Waite's and my children would have had a different direction in their lives if I had homeschooled. To be perfectly honest, I think I would have been in the loony bin, but by now I'm only a basket case. I interviewed a homeschool mother. She said, oh, don't use my name, and I said, I won't. She is a mother teacher. And I asked her questions, wondering why she had chosen to homeschool her child. Here are two reasons. A few reasons. I find them most interesting. She wants her child to have the same values as she and her husband have. And in reading other curriculum and other stories, articles, I see that all the time. We want our children to have the same values that we have. 2, she feels that the one-on-one attention brings a more thorough learning experience for her child. I remember one of my children who had a hard time in school, but his teacher said if I brought him next to my desk, he did all right. And I always wondered if I, as a mother, would have known about homeschooling and would have had the courage to homeschool that child one-on-one next to my desk. Would his life be different today? We do the best that we can at the time with the knowledge that we have, so we can't keep scolding ourselves, can we? You grandmothers know what I mean. 3, this mother that I interviewed said she feels that her child receives greater training, not distracted, and that her weaknesses can be spotted immediately as well as her interests can be fed. 4, she feels that her child can learn to socialize outside of her age group. She is not socialized into a single mindset. She is not trained incorrectly when it comes to getting along with people. She is able to interact with people of all ages instead of her own group. You know, when I was in one of these homeschool homes that I've told you about, you know, my husband goes around preaching in churches and I go with him most of the time. And I remember this was my early experience of going into homeschool homes. And I said, well, what do you think about your children? Don't you think they should socialize? I was saying the same thing that I told you Time Magazine was criticizing homeschools for, because I was new to all this. It was all new to me, like it is to some of you, I'm sure. And she said, what is our goal for our children? Isn't our goal for them to grow up and to be able to socialize and to talk and interact with adults as they become adults? When they're adults, don't they want to know how to talk with adults? Are we teaching them to grow up to learn how to talk with children? Her idea was, we are teaching our children to socialize with all age groups, from a tiny toddler to a grandmother. And I've never forgotten that, because I have tried sometimes to communicate to young people, and they can't communicate, because I'm not in their age group. Now, this home mother said she feels that problems can be immediately identified and resolved when she's teaching her child. Now, of course, there are objections to the homeschool movement. We don't want to be like an ostrich and stick our head in the sand and say there aren't. There are objectors. These objectors often say that the local schools are being drained by the homeschool movement of the most interested and capable people when those parents who are homeschooling leave the public or private school to educate at home. The problem here is that when the parents, with concerns, go to the local community school board meetings and try to speak and try to give their concerns, their voice is not heard. One of the objections to the public or private school by homeschool parents is that traditional schools are trying to create a certain mindset in their children. And these parents do not like that. The person who's supposed to set the mindset of their children is the parent, right? Or the parents. All students are to be poured into the same mold. That's what some homeschool mothers and fathers feel. And they don't want their child into the mold of their neighbor or the mold of the drug-taking child down the street. Any different accepted, any different thinking is not accepted by the school. It is often noticed that a person who has been homeschooled is more independent in her or his thinking than the public or even private school individual. We don't have the group mass, the group feeling, the gang feeling. It is agreed that this independency could be an asset, but such independency could run amok also. A child could be so independent, and this is my thinking, that they don't know how to be morally correct. As a child grows older into adulthood, he may be so independent in his thinking that he goes off in a contrary direction from what he has been taught in the home school. Of course, he might run off in a contrary direction even if he were in public school. Sometimes legal problems develop between the home school and the public school. If this be true, there is a group called the Home School Legal Defense Association. I believe you subscribe for $100 to their paper and you become a part of them. This group can help with various problems that the homeschool parent has with her child being able to use the public school for aid, or if trouble arises between the public school and the home school. Perhaps the homeschool child has special needs and needs community school help, or a special needs child with physical, emotional problems, or even advanced learning problems wants assistance. And so sometimes the local school gets their backup. You don't want me to teach your child? I'm not going to help your child with a special need. In such cases, if the community will not help the parent, that parent can receive legal aid in such situations. After all, the homeschool parent pays taxes like the public school parent does. And the public school people should not forget this. Now, the question of accreditation of the homeschooler is often brought up as a problem. Of course, there is the GED acceptance, but it is often looked upon askance by some as a lesser recognition. A homeschool can be under what is called an umbrella school. That is an organization which can furnish grade auditors and is a respectable association for accreditation, or at least recognition. For instance, there is a homeschool group in the state of Maryland that I have heard of. It's an organization called Churchville. Other states have similar organizations too. Various homeschools put themselves under this Churchville authority in the state of Maryland for grading and graduation recognition purposes. I was told in my interviews of a group in that same area called CHE, which stands for Chesapeake Home Educators. Another assisting group is HEART, spelling HEART, an acronym for Home Educators Are Real Teachers. A woman whom we shall call Miss B comes to the home of the homeschooled and homeschool teacher, and she looks over the situation and sees what the particular homeschool is doing. The information gleaned from that visit is sent to Churchville that I mentioned previously. The homeschooler's work is reviewed, and if it is sufficient, the homeschooler passes that grade. Of course, there is a slight fee for this association, and it is only fair as there is some work involved by Churchville, and it gives the homeschool teacher peace of mind that he or she is doing a good job teaching. I'm thinking when I nursed my babies, I used to think, are they getting enough food? Are they getting enough milk? Because you couldn't measure your nursing milk like you could in a bottle. And the doctor used to say, well, they're gaining weight, they're fine. But as a mother, sometimes we panic. Are they getting enough? You know, they cry, are they getting enough? And that's perhaps how a homeschool mother feels when she first starts. So it's good for her to have some testing person come in and say, you're doing a good job. Say, I've got to go now. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays, 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine and teach the young women to be sober to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi, this is Mrs. Waite again. I'm reading from the Calvary Contender, where the editor there, Mr. Huffman, has reviewed some letters from World Magazine. And let me read it to you. Years ago, in an international study of 13-year-olds all taking the same math test, Koreans came in first, Americans last. A question was asked, are you good in math? Only 23% of Koreans said yes, while 68% of Americans said yes. Aren't we proud of our proud kids? Much of the blame for our public school lies with the National Education Association. It suggests abortion on demand, schoolhouse clinics, and the aggressive agenda of the gay rights movement. Another letter. Americans have raised their kids in a culture of death and told them it's okay to kill their unwanted babies. Why the shock when they kill each other? Then I had a letter myself that I found. I get the World Magazine also. This is from August 2001. I read with dismay the story of Andrea Yates, the homeschool mother who killed her 5 children. The article was She Seemed Normal, from July 7, 14. As a pastor and a veteran homeschooling father, I have been very concerned by the number of Christian homeschooling families who reject the church or have only superficial involvement. The church is to bear one another's burdens. Mrs. Yates obviously had many. And without that support, the burden can be very heavy. That's from a pastor in Dayton, Ohio. I noticed this myself with Christian schools, that many times the Christian school people, young people, did not become active in the local church, young people's. And I felt that was a shame. I felt it was a lack in the homes of the Christian schools. And sometimes children are so programmed with all kinds of activities with their school and then the homeschoolers. Now, this is something you homeschool mothers and fathers should be careful of, that they are not involved in the local church as they should be. And, of course, the church is spoken of in the Bible. We don't hear about the other kind of school spoken of in the Bible. You know, while I'm talking about the Bible, I should talk a little bit about the Bible, because the Bible is the source book, is the educational book. It's the main textbook. When I teach about marriage, I get out the Bible. So when we teach about pedagogy, we should get out the Bible. And I was trying to think, what should I tell you all about what the Bible says about teaching and about how big the class size should be? And I just feel that we have an example with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the example, right? And it came to pass in those days, that's Luke 6:12, that he went, Jesus went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. A night of prayer. And when it was day, after that night of prayer, he called unto him his disciples. And of them, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. He had many disciples. We often say the 12 disciples. It was really the 12 apostles. And from all these disciples, from the crowd, he called 12. And we know their names, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also a traitor. And he came down and with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. He prayed all night. He called his disciples together, and from his disciples he chose 12 apostles. And with his apostles he taught the disciples. And often he taught these apostles all by themselves. And sometimes he chose 3, Peter, James, and John, for special instruction. Does it not behoove us to think about our children and their education? We group them in big groups. We always say, how many come to your youth group? In fact, pastors say, how many did you have today? Like in our house church the other day, we had 54 people, and we were real tickled. We were really bulging at the seams. We'd had 50 a couple times in during that month, and we'd had 48. That was when Pastor Joe was with us. We had many Africans. But this time, this was the time when we had Pastor Jung with us for his ordination service. That I think that was at the end of August. But we hadn't made a big splash and invited people, but people came. We had a couple, family of five from North Carolina. We had people from North Jersey. Anyhow, we had a big crowd, and we told people we had 54. But do you know, Jesus didn't say, I have 54. He didn't say, I had hundreds. You remember the multitudes when he fed the 5,000? He didn't say, these are my special apostles. He chose 12 to teach. I think that's a good number for a class size, don't you? And that's one of the problems with the big schools, big classes, the individual, the big school. Oh, to go back to the one-room school philosophy. And that's what the homeschooler can do. Now, let me get back to my paper. I've talked away my time, and I have so much to say. If you want this paper, just ask for it. If you want the tape, send us a little gift to help cover it. Now, remember I was talking with associations and the umbrella school. I told you about Churchville. I told you how you give them so much money, not a lot, but a little bit, so that they can help give you your homeschooler graduation certificate, which can be recognized. But there are some problems associated with associations, and one of the problems may be that this association may not be Christian. Also, the brand of Christianity may not be that of the homeschooler's family. There not only could be a mixture of religions like Baptist, Brethren, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc., all under the same homeschool umbrella or association, but there could be also various moral and Christian conviction differences. I remember one woman who homeschooled her girl. She took her out of public school, homeschooled her for a while, then she decided to send her to Christian school, and she found out in Christian school her values were not being taught in Christian school, and she brought her back to homeschool her. It's up to the prudence of the parents to judge the merits of this association group and proceed with it or not. I do ask myself, why bother to homeschool if we are mixing apples and oranges with our children? It certainly couldn't be for the issue of biblical separation if you have a mixture in a homeschool association. But it is the parents' choice. Recently, I attended a graduation exercise where the students were part of a certain accreditation association, and I was impressed that the graduates wore regular graduation robes. These were blue robes for the men and white robes for the women, and they looked grand. They marched down the aisle of the big church to music, and sat on the platform waiting to give speeches and receive their diplomas after hearing from noted speakers in the community. Afterwards, there was a large social gathering in the gymnasium to entertain the graduates and their parents. The difference in theological perspective and ideologies were noticed by me. I said nothing publicly as I was a guest there, but I did go up to one of the musicians, because I didn't like his music, and I said, do you know the old rugged cross? And he said, no. And I felt sad. I felt sad that a graduate of a Christian home school did not know the old rugged cross. He wasn't completely educated, was he? Homeschooling is a matter of choice. Parents who homeschool are concerned about the accreditation of their children's education, their acceptance in the world of education and business when the homeschool is over. And I don't blame them, do you? That is why many parents put their homeschool under an umbrella school. I know that some homeschool adults who enroll their daughters in the Bob Jones University Academy. By doing this, all the children's grades must meet certain standards for passing. And it's good to have a standard, don't you think? The Word of God is a great standard for passing. The plan was that at the time of their high school graduation in cap and gown, they would march to pomp and circumstances with the rest of the academy. They would receive a certified high school diploma from the Educational Academy, and they would be recognized by other educational institutions. That particular homeschool that I was talking about dissolved before it came to graduation time, so I'm not sure how all of that would have worked out. And it's fine with me. I emphasize again, it's up to the parent, what the parent feels the child needs. It's their choice. We must remember that homeschooling is a matter of choice. It isn't necessarily the children's choice, it's the parent's choice. I know another family who have homeschooled their four children. They have a regular schoolroom in the lower level of their home. Many homeschools have their own schoolrooms. I've seen them. When this particular family finds their children coming to their senior year in high school, they send them to high school connected with Pensacola Christian College in Florida. And the young person receives a diploma from that private Florida high school. That way, the graduate is able to enter into a college with no problems. If I remember correctly, there are two children home now under the mother's tutelage. The remaining high school boy takes some subjects at the high school and is active in the public school sports program. I've forgotten all the details there, but I was very interested in that because evidently this mother felt her son should do something in the public schools that she couldn't give them. Some parents come to the conclusion that some public schools or private schools' acceptance or participation is felt necessary to complete the need of a fuller, well-rounded education in areas where the parent has a lack or where the student needs social interaction. Now, sometimes you can go into a Christian school and take so many courses from the Christian school and also homeschool. But sometimes it's counterproductive because you're giving them your values and you go into this Christian school and they have different values, sad to say. Often, in such cases, a co-working and cooperation is established with the local public or private schools. Now let me say to you, have you done the very best educating your child? Then rest in your wisdom and in your choice. But I'll say, if you have not led your child to the Lord Jesus Christ, or if he has not come to know Christ as his Savior, if he or she does not know he's a sinner and needs to be saved, you have failed in educating your child. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays, 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m., and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
More than 20 million children will reach high school age in 4 years, posing daunting challenges for school districts already coping with classroom crowding and teacher shortages. We are finding even more schools in places holding classes in hallways. One mother said, "I just found out my daughter doesn't have a place to sit during lunchtime." We've been talking about homeschooling, and I've been encouraging you to look into it. I've been encouraging you to smile kindly on families who homeschool. Now, we talked about homeschool can be expensive. Now, I guess we didn't get that far. I've written about 6 pages, and if you want them, you can ask and call our 800 number. If you want the whole tape of 8 broadcasts on this subject, please send a gift, and we'll send you the tape. Ask for it. Of course, it has to be remembered that homeschooling can be expensive. One has to be ready to pay the price in several ways. It is not only a time-consuming giving of 100% of the teaching parent energy and time, but also it could be expensive. The less inventive a parent is, the more expensive the homeschool education will become. Sometimes the father forgets that he, too, is part of the teaching staff in the homeschool program. It is very well could be that the father has some educational skills and the mother may not have certain ones in the same field. In my opinion, and I've observed it, the father should contribute his share of his knowledge in the teaching of his child or children. Otherwise, you have a wife and a mother who's frantic, and you don't want to gain your children and lose your wife. If it is to be a successful homeschool, both parents must be part of the teaching. A mother who spends all her days and nights with her children needs relief, or she will break down emotionally. If the father does not want to do his share in making their homeschool successful and a pleasant situation for the mother as well as the child, in my opinion, the homeschool should not be a part of that family. It is very necessary for a parent considering this venture to count the cost financially and emotionally. It is a 12-year-plus project for each child in the family and for the mother. And if you begin at grade one, and that doesn't even count preschool and kindergarten, a parent must ask herself, and it's mostly the mother who's a teacher, am I willing to give up all to teach my child every day and every hour of that day? Now, there is a package curriculum that you can get, different package curriculums, which can help you, because when you start teaching, you're at a loss. What do I do? What do I do? Unless you have taught before. There are superior groups with package curriculums that have educational oversight of the students, such as A. Becca out of Pensacola, Florida, or Bob Jones University out of Greenville, South Carolina. There is also the Christian Liberty Association and a Catholic homeschool group that may be papacy approved or not. I'm not sure, but the person who told me this thought it was. These groups are not necessarily accredited as we think of accreditation, but they are respectable and accepted. Those who graduate from these groups with proper grades probably have no problem gaining college acceptance. I've been reading about homeschoolers who have very easy access into big schools. Homeschoolers that are graduates who are very knowledgeable and receive high grades in their homeschool education are sought after by businesses. One of my grandchildren is under Covenant Home curriculum and seems to be receiving an outstanding education. If I understand it correctly, this group has a teacher teach in a more traditional method and gives a complete education. The mother teacher or father teacher can control any theological differences he or she might have with curriculum or as any other curriculum. The other day I asked this little girl, under the Covenant Home curriculum what she liked about homeschool, and her answer was twofold. "I can be with my mother," was her first answer, and I thought that was very sweet. And then she said, "I like the Bible very much. I like that subject. In regular school, you don't get to learn about the Bible." Now there's the unit study method and the open method. Another curriculum is called the Charlotte Mason method, which is from the 1800s, which I know nothing about as well as the type of curriculum called the unit study method, which, if I understand it, takes a subject that the child is interested in, such as dogs, for instance, and all the teaching in that unit would be around the subject of dogs. The child would learn English, such as conjunctions of verbs or definitions of pronouns, using dogs as the base idea. And in mathematics, all the problems would be concerning dogs, like two dogs and two dogs equals four dogs. I suppose it's history. In history, one would learn how dogs influence different wars and generals and presidents and popular figures and how dogs save the world, etc., etc. It seems like this teaching would be a wee bit limited. That's my opinion. And there is the open method of homeschooling. The parent notices that a child has a great interest in a certain kind of work. For instance, if a boy took an interest in the way a radio worked, the parent would feed that interest, and the child would become a specialist in all aspects of radio. If a girl showed an ability in sewing, the mother would feed that interest, and in time that girl would become an excellent seamstress and designer of clothes. Somehow the other subjects, like reading and writing and arithmetic, would be woven around the child's personal passion of radio or sewing. I've been told that many who learn this way become brilliant and outstanding in their fields, holding PhDs. I remember being in several homeschools where the Bill Gothard curriculum, which is called Advanced Training Institute, was used. If I recall, it was based on Bible verses and Bible stories. It has been a while since seeing that, though there were some interesting features of the Gothard teaching, and it would be sort of like that dog training, only it would be like on a Bible verse. You'd get your pronouns and from there, you'd get your history from there, you'd do all this from there. It did seem to me when I was in this home that it seemed like that teaching was a little limited, although mother and father were sold on it. And I will say something about this home. This home was very neat. And part of the reason it was neat was because part of the curriculum of the daughter was to learn how to be a homemaker, and of the son was to learn how to be a husband. Though there were some interesting features in the Gothard teacher that I noticed in these homes, I wondered about the complete education of the child for life in the real world. Difficulties can be caught early and be prevented. In an interview with a homeschool mother, I learned that there are subjects and lifestyles that she wants her child to know that are often not taught in the school system, public or private. For instance, some schools do not teach penmanship, therefore their graduates come out of school with sloppy writing habits. Some schools and homeschool curriculums, for that matter, do not teach a complete view of world history. They are selective and ignore many important historical events. Without such knowledge, a child's historical view is limited. Others neglect the teaching of science at an early age. We do know that children from Christian homes are many times led astray by their classmates in so-called Christian schools as well as government schools. We expect as Christians that our children will butt up against apostasy and unbelief in local schools, public schools, but not in so-called Christian schools. But it does happen sometimes, and we warn them about the unbelievers, but not the raw filth found in the lives of some students in so-called Christian schools. I remember one of my sons as a young lad told me that he was treated worse in our large Bible-believing church than in his public school activities. Because, you know, Christian isn't always Christian. Just because the school is called Christian does not mean that the homes from which those students come from are Christian homes. Sometimes a parent sends a child to a Christian school to escape him from the worldliness of his own home. I know a person that is doing this now with his daughter. His other children have all gone to pot, so to speak. They do not attend church regularly, although he says he teaches his children, but one of the things he's not teaching is regular church attendance. And so there is great influence in that home from ungodly older siblings and inconsistent lives of the parents. This loose type living Christian home atmosphere brought into the halls of Christian schools tend to pollute the Christian schools, thus influence a child who comes from a strict Bible-adhering home to do wrong. Could it be that this problem has come about by the fault of having a fundamental Bible-believing church open its doors to a whosoever will fashion to the community? No longer is the education of that church school completely Christian. For this reason, many churches only allow church members' children attend their Christian schools. And that way, the pastor has some control over these children's lives, because he has control over the parents as the pastor. I had a son who attended a Christian school during his last 3 years of high school education. At the time, it was a good school, and it may be now, I don't know, a difficult school and a church-run school. But other people were allowed to come in that did not belong to this church, other beliefs, other doctrinal beliefs. He received a good education there, I believe. It cost enough, anyhow. There were children in that school, either when he was there or after he graduated, I can't remember, who took drugs, who got pregnant, and who impregnated girls. Our son was a good young man, and this worldliness and disrespect for the Word of God by those students did not affect him adversely, I don't think. If my memory is correct, he was often shunned by some students because he was a good person, quiet and obedient. It is a fact Christian young people can often be rude and impolite. I say this to the shame of parents who have not taught their children to be the salt of the earth, to dare to be friendly and kind, to talk to a stranger, and to reach out and give a helping hand. You remember the Apostle Paul led Timothy to Jesus Christ as Timothy's Savior. And Timothy was taught as a child the Holy Scriptures before he ever knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Paul wrote to him a letter, and it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Timothy must have been alarmed by all this. But Paul said, "But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, from his parents, from his grandmother and mother. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable." Are you teaching your children the Scriptures? I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking Just for Women.
Hi again. We're into the discussion of homeschooling. To homeschool or not to homeschool, that is the question. I'm reading from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association paper. It's called the Homeschool Court Report. And on the front, there's a picture of a black family, a very attractive black family, a father and a mother and two children and a baby. And it says, the new pioneers, black homeschoolers. And I just want to talk about this for a minute. I have a special place in my heart for black people, especially people right from Africa. We have Africans in our church. They come to our church all the time. And I told you Pastor Joe was here from Liberia, and we just heard from him yesterday. He called to thank us for being so good to him and having him here, and his wife Tiange called, and she was thrilled with everything, especially the shoes. We got him some very, very good shoes, SAS shoes, SAS shoes, and they cost a fortune. But he walks all over. He walks sometimes for 10 or 12 hours a day, so we wanted him to have some good shoes. Well, I can't go into that too much because I will talk my time out, but listen to this. Joyce Burgess, she's a black mother, and here's a picture of her and her children and her husband. She can identify with the feeling of striking out all alone into unknown territory. When we started homeschooling 12 years ago, I didn't know even one other family in our town who was homeschooling. The Burgess' oldest son, Eric, then 14, was in a magnet public high school for gifted students, but he was failing in more than grades. We were losing our son, said Joyce. His confidence was lacking. His spirit was literally dead. It was horrible. The school recommended keeping Eric back a year or sending him to another school across town. I'm sorry, miss, but neither of those choices is something I will do. I will homeschool my son, Joyce responded firmly. Looking back, she realized, I had no idea what I was saying. I hadn't read a thing about it. All I knew was that 5 years before, we had known one homeschool family. They had planted the seed of this idea in her head. They had since moved away, but that seed opened up a whole new world for our family. Joyce took Eric under her wing for a year, making extensive use of the local library. The next year, the Burgesses brought their three youngest children home. Since then, it's been a whirlwind, Joyce said with a smile. I think homeschooling has done more for me than for my children. Shortly after they began homeschooling, the Burgesses joined their statewide homeschool organization, Christian Home Educators Fellowship in Louisiana, CHEF. They served as board members for over 8 years. Eric is CEF president the last 3 years. The Burgesses credited CHEF with being pivotal in their starting NBHERA, and Eric continues to serve on the CHEF board as immediate past president. When asked what she values most from her years of homeschooling, Joyce thoroughly replied, mainly the closeness we have as a family. I want each of my children to experience this wonderful blessing. My husband calls it a lifeline. Now, I wanted to tell you about this organization in case I run out of time. It's called National Black Home Educators Resource Association. And you can hear from them if you phone 225-778-0169. Let me repeat that, 225-778-0169. I do have an address, but I want to get on with what I want to talk about. It's called the New Pioneers, Black Homeschoolers. A new wave of pioneers is sweeping onto the homeschooling trail. After decades of promises that the public school system holds the key to success, some African American families are finding, like those of other ethnicities, that an increasingly centralized system and social decay are fast dissolving the bonds of their culture and families. Black families are attending conferences, joining or starting support groups, and showing up in the new news media, says Dr. Brian Ray, president of the National Home Educators Research Institute. He says, although we do not have any current studies that clearly show an increase in the number of African-American home schoolers, based on my own and other research, he continued, I estimate that 30,000 to 50,000 African-American children are homeschooled today. So isn't that interesting? I'm skipping around because I want to get most of it in. Many black families across the nation are returning to the old-fashioned method of teaching learned years ago from our ancestors. Yet, even as the number of black homeschooling families is growing, it is becoming increasingly apparent that something is keeping this educational alternative from sweeping through the African-American community. Deciding to homeschool brings inherent challenges to any family of any ethnicity. I'm having a time with that word. Every loving, dedicated parent experiences the qualms. Here's the little voice inside asking, can I do this? What if I ruin my child's life? And is it really legal? And most families run into some opposition from friends or family members. But African-American families face other obstacles as well. A lot of them feel that they will be betraying their people if they homeschool, explains Joyce. That's the lady that I was quoting before, that Joyce Burgess, remember? I told you about her experience. Black Americans who were part of the civil rights movement, who remember the struggle to gain a place at the table of public education, find the idea of their children or grandchildren trading in that seat for a chair at a kitchen table tantamount to a slap in the face. The flip side of the civil rights movement is the deeply rooted sense of helplessness so many African Americans feel, initially resulting from slavery and prejudice and reinforced by well-intentioned government programs. Gilbert Wilkinson, founder of the Network of Black Homeschoolers, explains his goal. I want to help black people come out of the mentality that we've been sold, that's been ingrained in us, that we've been so cemented in for years and years. My goal, not only with homeschoolers, but with all African Americans, is to bring them up to a level higher thinking. I know we can do better. We have the courage, the strength, the spirituality, the economics, everything we need within the black community. Now, this is a very interesting article, and I could go on and read it to you, but I don't know whether I should or not. I want to give you again the name of this place that you can write. By now, you probably have your pencil on. It's called National Black Home Educators Research Association. The address is 6943 Stoneview Avenue, Baker, Louisiana. The zip code is 70714, and the phone number is 225-778-0169. Now, I think this is very interesting. If you'd like a copy of this, especially you black people, mothers and fathers, if you write to me, I can send you, I can copy this off for you. Now, I have a little bit more time here. I wonder if I can give this testimony of the Wilkinson family. A rewarding journey. Homeschooling veterans Gilbert and Gloria Wilkinson of Richmond, Virginia, also started homeschooling about 12 years ago. Gloria felt the Lord had given her a vision to homeschool, but Gilbert wasn't so sure initially. I was a little against it when we first started, he said, because our society was against it and I didn't know much about it. But after the Wilkinsons attended a Home Education Association of Virginia conference, Gilbert was sold. It was seeing the parents, children, whose families together. They answer the questions of socialization. Children do not go to school to socialize, but they go to school to learn. Over the years, we've seen the spiritual benefits too. I'm more convinced now of the value of homeschooling than I ever have been. We are a very close-knit family, Gilbert explained. We have nurtured and brought our children up in the admonition of the Lord, and it has given our children a sense of destiny and courage. Our reward is greater than what we could have worked if we'd worked on Wall Street for. Our children have grown up to be great kids, level-headed, spiritually sound, and having the peace of God in their lives. We just had a commitment to raise our kids in the Lord, and God has honored that over the years. Now, I think that's a wonderful testimony from that father, don't you?
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to our trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to our Lord and leave it there.
With the Apostle Paul to Timothy, I say to you, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, Paul says, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women. Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
S-U-C-C-E-D-A-N-E-U-M. That was the winning word that Sean Conley won in 2001 Scripps Howard National Spelling Bee. Can you spell that word? Do you even know what it means? Well, it was something. And then we see that 3 of the 10 finalists in 2001 were homeschooled. That follows last year's winner of 12-year-old George Abraham Thampy. He was a homeschooler who had victory. And he came with this great achievement in the spelling, and then he had just been the week before getting second place in the National Geography Bee. Suddenly, home-based education was in the spotlight. You've noticed it too, haven't you? I have. In fact, growing number of colleges and universities not only make room for homeschoolers in the admission process, but they actually pursue these students. For example, Stanford University admitted 26% of the homeschoolers who applied in 2000, almost double its usual acceptance rate. A growing body of evidence indicates that home-based education works consistently, regularly, and normally. We've been talking for the past 8 weeks. This is the 8th week I've been talking about this on this tape, and you can get it if you send me an offering to help cover expenses. We've been talking about homeschooling, and I've entitled it "To Homeschool or Not to Homeschool, That is a Question." I'm not looking down my nose at you if you don't homeschool, nor am I thinking that I should be more proud of you, although I do know it's very difficult. And it's a committed task to your children. Homeschool students do exceptionally well when compared with the national average. Comparing results from 2 national standardized achievement tests, the study found that homeschool students scored significantly higher than their public and private school counterparts in every subject and at every grade level. I'm reading from an article by Simon J. Dahlman. He's writing in Focus in the Family. I don't know who he is, September 2001, but it's a current information, and I thought you should know about it. We see that an independent researcher named Lawrence Rudner, Ph.D., R-U-D-N-E-R, director of Eric Clearinghouse on Assessment and Evaluation, said he was using results from the Iowa tests of basic skills, assessing kindergarten through 8th grade, and the test of achievement and proficiency grades 9 through 12. Rudner evaluated scores of 20,760 students and 11,930 families, 7 times as many homeschooling families as they previously studied. Rudner discovered academic proficiency and excellence across the board. For example, he found that homeschooled students in 1st through 4th grades perform on the average 1 grade level higher than their peers in conventional settings. And impressive as that is, the achievement gap continues to increase from that point. By 8th grade, the average homeschool student performs 4 grade levels above the national average. Isn't that something? I think it's amazing. Now, I told you that I wrote some things from an interview I did with a couple people, and 2 of them were my grandchildren. And one of my grandchildren is 15, and I said, ask her questions about homeschooling. I said, tell me about homeschooling. I asked one of our granddaughters to tell me about homeschooling, and she didn't think the teaching was that much different from other schools, except she mainly had one teacher, her mother. The pressure that her friends seemed to have with their schools is less for her in homeschool. She was relieved. She was not under the pressure to study, the pressure to do this, to do that, to be this, to be that. She can talk and dress like she wants to and not feel that it's imperative for her to be a clone of another person. She sees this syndrome, this clone syndrome, in the behavior of her non-homeschool friends, and she has quite a few of them. She is sincerely grateful not to be under the pressure they feel. I wondered if our granddaughter really knew what public or private school was like, so I asked her. She seemed to know because she has compared notes with her friends in her neighborhood, and she is glad that she doesn't have to dress like what she called a dork or get up early for the school bus. She is happy to be relieved of the stress of the daily homework. Yes, because in homeschool you do your lessons and you don't have this homework to bring home and do. When questioned, she said, "I feel like I have a good education." She often compares her education with her friends, and she has discovered her education is basically the same as theirs. "I'm a go-getter," she said when I asked her about studying. She acknowledged when it comes to learning and admits that she teaches most of her lessons to herself now that she's older. And then she comes to her mother for help, or she has keys. They have a key, and so she knows whether she's doing it right, and if she has a problem, they work on it together. Knowing many homeschool friends, she has concluded that no two people are homeschooled the same way. Every parent has different approaches to his or her teaching. And that's true. "Now, what is your day like?" I asked her. She said she is supposed to be up and dressed by 8:15 a.m. on school mornings, eat breakfast as a family, and pray together. Every evening when the father has finished his work, his day work, they read and study the scriptures as well as have history lessons together. She did admit that sometimes it can get annoying seeing her family all the time. Often there are homeschool meetings during the month, and it is then that she gets to see her other homeschool friends, if she hasn't seen them between meetings. They played old-fashioned games like Capture the Flag and often go skating together. During these times of play, the parents, mostly the mothers, get together and talk about homeschool events, problems, and ideas for teaching. "It is refreshing for me," she said, "not to have to worry about drugs in schools and school shootings." How happy the homeschool graduates are at graduation time. They can praise God together as a group and go on with their life. That's interesting, isn't it? No lockdowns, nothing like that, because you are in your home. Then I wondered out loud to my granddaughter, how can a parent teach? How do mothers feel about teaching? Are they afraid they cannot do it? My granddaughter concluded, "Some people think that homeschool is hard, but once a parent starts teaching, it isn't so hard after all." As we concluded our conversation, this lovely granddaughter confessed, "I'm not sure if I would homeschool my children or not." That was an interesting conclusion. The answer to that pondering will only be known when this young woman becomes a parent herself. Time will tell. I'll try to keep you posted. Now, I've really enjoyed talking to you about this homeschool. I've been very burdened to do this and to encourage you. So I thought I would give you some method philosophies that one of the homeschool people gave me. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them on this sheet. And I have quite a few minutes here. Maybe I can help you. Traditional textbook method. Use graded textbook and workbook following a specific scope and sequence. Now, some of these resources would be the ADEC books. I have phone numbers for all this. If you ever want them, call me. Bob Jones University Press. Alpha Omega. Classic Curriculum. Rod and Staff. Colby Academy. And Set and Home Studies. Now, Colby Academy and Set and Home Studies are Catholic curriculums resources. Because you see, in the beginning, I suppose fundamentalists were some of the big homeschoolers. And now it's gone into, and my research has gone into everything. Parents are concerned about the education of their children. Not only their religious education, but regular reading, writing, and arithmetic. Another philosophy is called classical education. Classical method of education taught in the Middle Ages using the trivium, or trivium, I forgot to look that word up. It's T-R-I-V-I-U-M. 1, grammar stage, learn elements of language, memorize facts, observe. 2, dialectic stage, use facts to draw conclusions, debate opinions, argue logic. 3, rhetoric stage, use language persuasively. And as I look at that, I'm sure that that's a great deal of the way that I was taught. I graduated from high school in 1945, so maybe I was under this classic education teaching. There's the Trivium or Trivium Pursuit, Veritas Press, The Well-Trained Mind by Jesse Wise and Susan Wise, Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning by Douglas Wilson, and then a Catholic one, Designing Your Own Classical Curriculum and the Harp and Laurel Wreath by Laura Berquist. Then there's the philosophy of unit study, starting with the topic you delve into by integrating all subjects. And then this is KONOS, K-O-N-O-S, Advanced Training Institute, The Weaver, Alta Vista, How to Create Your Own Unit Study by Valerie Brent. Then there's a Charlotte Manson type, involve children in real-life situations, expose them to best sources, read living books which make subjects come alive. And the resources there are For the Children's Sake by Susan Schaefer McCauley and Charlotte Mason Companion by Karen somebody or other, Andriola. Then there's the method of unschooling. Each child pursues his own entrance. Parents provide resources for child to learn on his own and access real world. I have to hurry on, so I can't give you the resources. And the next one's the principal approach. Centers around three key concepts. Knowledge of our American Christian history. 2, an understanding of our role in the spread of Christianity. And 3, the ability to live according to the biblical principles upon which our country was founded. And then there's the delayed academics. Wait until child is developmentally ready. The parent knows best. And that resource is homegrown kids. I guess they wait until the children want to learn. It's sort of like wait until your child wants to go to church. And, of course, he'll never get there. General Douglas MacArthur has said, Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds. A son who will know thee, and that to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men. One who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. After all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain.
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us for our next broadcast, heard twice weekly over this same station, and hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.